Do you guys remember why we were talking about doing push-ups at all? Denying yourself. All right, so being self-conscious is a real thing with all of us. It especially has to do with when we're with others, and when we're sharing the good news, when we're even fellowshipping. If you're in a Bible study and you have something on your heart to share, but then you're like, well, what if I stutter, or what if I say it wrong, or what if I get nervous? And all your mind turns to is like thinking about yourself. Instead of being like Christ conscious, where you're like, I got something maybe of Christ that could help other people. And so you start to focus on Christ and you even think about the other people. You know, another thing I do when I'm preparing to share or even to share the gospel is I pray for the other people. And that like completely removes me from the scene. I stop thinking about myself so much. And if I say the wrong thing, I'm always thinking, if I don't do these things, like I'm always thinking like, I'm going to go up and forget what to say, or I'm going to talk to somebody like to share the good news and I'm going to not know what to say, or they're going to ask me a hard question. I'm not going to know what to say. And I forget that that's a soul that needs the good news. And this good news is powerful enough to save them from hell. Or I forget that I've got some portion of Christ in me that could build up a believer. And it may be the thing that washes their feet today and refreshes them in the presence of the Lord. It might be. I might look like a fool. You know, actually, a lot of my messages, I look kind of foolish. Like, I've watched some of them or listened to some. I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing. But maybe Christ was shared. And if I have to be a fool because I'm not that good at this, but if Christ can come out, like, I'm okay with that. Because, like in the Bible says, we're fools for Christ. Like, let us be fools sometimes. If they can remember Christ and be like, he's a little foolish, but I did receive some Christ from him. Like, that's okay. So even these guys, I think these men of God up here and women of God, can focus on the Lord while we do this hard physical thing. All right, so I'm going to hit the timer. We're going to drop down. We're going to do one push-up. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We're going to do one push-up, and then we're going to hold it. Is there enough room?
Yeah.
All right, you want to come up here? Come up here. You got it? Somebody can go right here. You want up here? Yep. All right, here we go. You guys, y'all ready? Make sure you've got the space. You got the space? You guys got space?
Yeah, we should be okay.
What about you?
I'm kind of old. I don't know if I should do it. All right, but if I drop out early, like have mercy, I'm like a really old man.
Sure.
All right, here we go. Ready, set, go.
Hold it. Okay, now, that's it. Oh, yeah, I know. Now, you guys know.
I don't know.
So what time is it? 20 seconds. Anybody shaking?
No.
You guys do 1 minute?
Yeah.
How much time? What hands are over here? Is anybody shaking?
Yes.
Has it been a minute?
No.
Oh, should we give up?
No.
That's me.
No, no way.
Yes. No, no, no. This is your response.
On Saturday?
How much time has it been?
20 minutes.
120.
120.
Did
you guys make it to 2?
No.
Yeah,
they
no.
5.
5
minutes?
No.
Alright, make it to 2.
5.
How much time?
1 minute.
You can do it. I'm going to 2.
5, 4, 3.
Somebody
two,
gotta keep going.
1, 0.
Alright, you guys keep going. Let's see what you got.
You know, I got to preach, so my head's going to turn red if I keep going, right? 2 minutes and 12? You guys got this?
I wanted to hear
someone. Good job. Did you make the two?
Yeah.
Awesome. You said you used to do that. Still can.
Almost 2.5. Almost 2.5.
Uh-oh. Elliot, yes, I'm
and there's 2.5. Who wants to give up the 2.5? That's pretty noble. 2.5 is pretty good.
Do one hand.
It's a good time to give up.
We have one finger.
All right, who can make it to three?
Use your nose.
Oh, yeah. Get some bro.
Use your pinky. 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. Are any of these guys middle schoolers? Okay, it's almost three. There's three. All right, you want to get top of three. All right, man. 10. You got this, man. You got this. Are they shaking yet? All right, middle school versus high school.
It's only these three.
All right, so you three. All right. Almost 3.5.
Leo, why'd you stop?
Bro.
Sit down. Now he's very self-conscious.
One hand.
Almost 3:45. Can they make it to four?
We make it to five.
Yeah, bro.
You guys got this. 10 more seconds. All right, it's a good time to drop out. 5 more seconds.
Five.
All you gotta do is make it two. 2 more seconds beyond the last guy, buddy.
4 minutes. Come on.
You got this. You have 4 minutes. Good job. Good job. It's time to quit.
No, wait.
Five.
Gabriel.
This is a half workout.
Oh. Awesome, man. That was awesome. All right, 4:15.
Jeffrey, you guys are going to
no. We should, though. That'd be a good trick.
Wait, what?
All right, it's almost 4.5. All right, they're starting to. 4:30. That's good. That's good. Good job, man.
You're going to be one of those.
4:40.
I've
never made it to 5. That's a good goal.
You got that.
4:48. 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds.
Nine.
All right, I'm gonna stop them both at 5. All right. 3, 2, 1. 5 minutes. Good job, man. Good job. All right, hop down. Come on, you guys. Okay, now it's push-ups until the end. Go. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Crazy. All right, that was impressive.
That was
pretty impressive. Let's see. I can. I do not want to duplicate. Here we go. All right, you guys. Now, I do have scriptures up here for today, and I thought I would sing a song with you too. I don't play the guitar really that well. I know like 4 chords. So you just have to sing with me. Now, this is a song that I learned in college. So I was out here on this college campus and I was thinking, this is an appropriate song to do together. And it kind of has to do a bit with what we're talking about. Has anybody ever sung this song?
Yeah.
You've sung this before? Good. Okay. Well, you're going to love this song. You're going to be singing it for days. And then you're going to be practicing to hone on your skills. So, those of you who know it, kind of, you know, sing along with me a little bit, because I don't actually have a good singing voice, but it kind of, like, we kind of need a beat or something like that, and then it goes like, I am a C. Alright, hold on. So listen, you see how they're capitalized? The capital ones we spell out. Alright, now this says I'm a Christian, and I've got Christ in my heart, and I will live eternally. And a lot of what we've been talking about is this life of Christ and this life growing in us. But it does begin, like we talked about yesterday, with being born again and receiving Christ into our hearts, receiving Him. And then His life is in us. It's actually called life eternal. And we live by that new life, and we begin to grow as Christians. So we're today getting more into the growth of that life. But just to even take this stance, like, I am a Christian, and I've got Christ in my heart, and I will live eternally, is actually a pretty good song. And it's a little bit silly, too. All right, so let's try that again. I think you guys already know this. It sounds like more know it than I thought. Okay, so is this an okay beat? Yes. There we go. All right. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I've got C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. Hold up, who's sung this before? Oh, you all know it! Alright, so, have you ever done it this way? This is a little harder. So, notice what these things are in the yellow. These vowels. Awesome. I knew about that before college. So, the way this works now is we use a word with it, except for the vowels. So, we're going to start with the word chicken. So, it's going to go like this. We can do a slower beat because it's going to be a little bit hard. But if we say, I am a chicken, I am a chicken hicken, I am a chicken hicken ricken, I sick and ticken, I a nicken. You got this?
No.
All right, here we go. I am a chicken, that's it.
I am a chicken hicken. I am a chicken hicken ricken, I sick and ticken, I a nicken.
That's it. And I got chicken hickory rickin, I sick and tickin in my chicken ea rickin chicken, and I will rickin I rickin ee ee chicken ee rickin nickin a lickin lickin why. You guys with me? Do I have to go slower? Alright, the hardest part is this one right here. And I will lickin I rickin ee ee chicken ee rickin nickin a lickin lickin why. You want to try it slower?
Yeah.
Or normal beat?
Normal.
Alright, here we go.
I am a chicken. I am a chicken hicken. I am a chicken hicken rickin. I chicken chicken I am hicken.
And I got chicken hicken rickin, I rickin chicken in my hicken ea rickin chicken, and I will rickin I rickin ee chicken ee rickin nickin a lickin lickin why. Some of you guys were lickin lickin wise. That was good. All right, let's try it with someone's name in here. It could be a last name or a first name. What do you guys think?
Franklin.
Let's start with a short name. Who's got a short last name or a short first name? One syllable.
Matt.
Jen.
Jeffrey.
All right, so if it's Jen, is it Jen? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Jen.
All right, if it's Jen, it's going to be I'm a Chin. Ready? All right, let's go.
I am a chin. I am a chin hen. I am a chin hen when I sin tin I in.
That's it.
And I've got chin hen when I sin tin in my hen he a rin tin, and I will win I been e e ten e rin nin a lin lin y.
How many got that?
I got a lot more than last time.
Alright, let's pick another name. Let's do a couple, one more or two more names.
Max.
Who's got another name?
Franklin.
It could be two syllables.
Franklin.
Raise your hand if you got one.
Raise your hand.
You got one?
Hernscher.
Franklin.
Oh, I've never done Hernscher.
Franklin.
Who can say Hernscher the right way?
Hernscher.
All right, how do you pronounce your name the right way?
We don't know.
How's your mom say it?
There's two ways.
Okay.
Hernscher or Hernscher.
Oh.
Half family does it one way, half family does it another.
What do you guys want to do?
Hernscher.
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 So how would you do it?
Hernscher.
Hernscher. Churcher, hercher, rercher, I searcher, churcher, I ain't nurture. You guys got this? Right. This is next level. I am a churcher. That's it.
I am a churcher. I am a churcher.
I searcher, churcher, I ain't nurture. And I got churcher, hercher, rercher, I searcher, churcher in my hercher, E-A, rercher, churcher, and I will nurture, I rercher, E-E, churcher, E-nurture, rercher, A, nurture, lurcher, Y. I got all messed up. Let's try this again.
And I will nurture, I rercher, E-E,
churcher,
E-nurture,
A, nurture, lurcher, Y. Woo, okay. All right. All right, is that enough, you guys think?
No.
All right, you can think about more for the next day. We got to actually... We probably got to... let's look at some of this for a little... Let's see here. Now, let me do it a different way. Quiz interview. Here we go. All right. I am... Sorry, guys. Be 1 second. Let me duplicate my screen there. That'll be easier. All right, do you guys remember what that song actually said? Christ? And I will... Nice. All right.
I have a zapper here somewhere.
Okay, yes. Like, if you're bad, I'll, like, zap you, right? Okay. So, we are in this... This Jesus' early years. I have the theme verse up here. How Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And we're just going to talk a second about yesterday's, but then we're going to focus in on this next stage of his early years. Now, this baby picture is not quite totally the expression of a brand newborn baby, but a little bit. So let's pray together, and we'll focus in on this. Lord, we come to you. We just thank you that we can freely confess with our mouths openly that we're Christians and that you've given us eternal life. Lord, we so appreciate being able to be in your presence and even to forget about ourselves and to worship you and testify about you and have our mouths opened, Lord. We just thank you for being Christians among Christians too. And we pray that you would meet with us right now. And any who haven't yet received you would also come to you and even catch this glorious good news and receive Christ in their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last time we were a little bit more. Oh, you know what? Let me see. I want to back up. So let me rip us all the way back to here. Here we go. All right. There we go. Last time we actually were in the womb more so. We didn't actually get to the birth of Jesus, did we? We just talked about the birth of John and his experience. So remember, we had these two old couple. We had an old couple and we had a young couple. And we had Zacharias and Elizabeth, the old couple, and we had Joseph and Mary, the young couple. But there were two different experiences. They both had miraculous children, like births or conceptions, and they both had expressions of joy and even prophecies and things that were way beyond their own family in the end as they praised the Lord. But the timing was different. One timing was like basically 9 months later with the older couple. Because when the angel Gabriel appeared, he had this question. I don't think it was a sin per se, or even something like that any of us would not have done. I think we do this probably all the time. When the Lord starts to lead us or speak to us about how his direction in our life is, sometimes we're like, all right, Lord, let's do this. And sometimes we're like, I'm just not sure. And the first thing that comes to us, and rightly so, we shouldn't all be so confident that we're hearing from the Lord 100%. Like, nobody's really got that down except for Jesus. In this age, we all have a slight question mark. If you're healthy. If you're healthy, you're always a little bit like, I think I'm hearing from the Lord, but I could be wrong. If you're 100% always sure that you're hearing from the Lord, sometimes this happens as a new believer. You'll probably flop at some point and realize, like, all right, I don't think I heard the Lord there. Just to even humble us. Because we get so proud and we're like, I hear from the Lord all the time, and why doesn't everybody else? Why is no one else confident? That happens to some of us, especially maybe overconfident people. Because you get that sense of your conscience. You know, like when you get convicted of sins, that deeper spot in your heart, and you know, like, you should repent. And then you confess your sins, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you, and you get washed clean, and you have His presence there. And so then you have this fellowship with Him, or worship. And that spot, that spiritual spot, is also where sometimes the Lord will lead you or speak to you, like something like, you need to name your baby John, type of stuff. Like with this couple. And when that's happening, there is a reaction that can be a little bit of a doubt, and it can kind of clam you up. It's okay to not be sure of yourself. It's okay. But just to bring it back to the Lord in all humility and be like, tell me more, Lord. Or like, let's pursue this. But there's another type of doubt. And I don't know if this was really what was going on with Zacharias. But I'm going to borrow it, okay? So don't feel bad about or think bad about this guy. I think he's a real man of God. And all the descriptions of him are awesome. He just had this little delay, this little discipline. So I'm just going to borrow it to say that sometimes our doubt is because we sort of turn away from believing on the Lord and focus so much on ourselves. And we clam up. And our mouths become muted. And we end up not expressing ourselves as a believer. We don't act like a believer during that season. And it's like this can happen at the very beginning of a Christian's life. And so I was mentioning how sometimes when you grow up in a Christian home, sometimes it's because of your age, because you get saved at like 6 years old sometimes, or some early age, like you're praying at breakfast and suddenly your tummy feels weird and you don't even know that you got saved because you're just surrounded by belief in a Christian home. And so you accidentally get saved often in a Christian home, which is a great accident. It's not a Lord's accident, but you get saved and then you're just not always confident or sure. But there's a time, especially as you grow to be like a full-fledged human, like you get to be a teenager and you're basically like normal then. You're not just a child creature and you're thinking normal and everything. And it's kind of like it's been 9 months, even if you grew up in a Christian home. The excuses are kind of gone. And it's time that the Lord actually puts it to your heart, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to choose to obey the things that you know you should obey, or are you going to go your own way? And it's at that time where you do kind of obey the Lord and your mouth can become free. The other response that happened with Mary, she in her like astonishment, is just like, how could it be? It's different, or at least I'm borrowing it to say it's a different type of expression. You can be in wonder, like, whoa, Lord, like, really? Because you know me. You can talk with the Lord and He can explain. Yes, here's how it's going to happen. Or it's almost like the Lord calls you to follow Him in a strong way. You're like, you really want me to read the Bible like during my summer break? The whole Bible? Are you sure? And you have this feeling like, I think so. But you're just like, how would I actually do it? And then you start to maybe even get some wisdom or some insight, like, all right, it's just going to be like this many chapters a day. We can do this. It's going to take me an hour every day. Anyway, something like that where you're just like, really? It's a little bit different than how shall I know? So he got muted until he said, his name is John. And so our call yesterday was really a call out to get your starting spot of growth to be the right way. If you don't take your stance, like, his name is John, like Zacharias did, where you're like, okay, I may have been muted long enough, but now it's like, I am a Christian, and I do have Christ in my heart, and I'm going to live this way. I'm going to walk as a Christian, and I'm going to actually be free to open my mouth now and express the joy of the Lord. Usually, by this point, there's some obedience issue. So that's why I'm using this, his name is John concept. Usually, if you've been muted for a while, but you know that you're a believer, or you mostly think you're a believer, if you've been like really quiet about it all and not had fellowship much or kind of been shy and hiding it, usually now there's something for you to obey and you actually know about it. Like I mentioned the thing with baptism. Like how many are baptized here? I heard there were some new baptisms. So a lot of baptisms here. That's a great response. And some are not baptized. Sometimes there's another response. And this can happen to older believers too. You can start to focus on yourself, doubt yourself, and you start to limp along. You barely make it enough to show other believers that you're still around, but you're no longer running the race. You're kind of like walking along, almost standing on the sides. And if you ask the Lord, probably there's something that He will remind you of. Sometimes they call this like you've lost your first love. But with the Ephesian believers in Revelation 2, He said, remember where you fell. Remember that. Do those first works and repent. He's kind of like, remember there's something for you to do. Just like John the Baptist said, there's a do with your repentance. Like, produce fruit worthy of your repentance. There's something for, if I want to change and go back to my full-fledged walk, there's usually something for me to do that's from the old days. There's something for me to walk back in. So anyway, that's the thing. If we come into this and we are full of our expression of the Lord, then the life of Christ can grow. And that's what we're focusing on today, is just this this expression now, is whether you've been muted, now it's all the same. Now, or if you've had a good start and you're walking with the Lord, now what we're talking about is actually growing. So we're going to look into the birth experience of Jesus, it's actually a few scenes of the sight of him as a young baby, either brand new born or a little bit afterwards. And so here's another verse. It's very similar to our theme verse. Remember, our theme verse is in Luke 2, I think 52. So this one, if you backtrack, it's before his 12-year-old experience. It sounds very similar. So notice some differences. The child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So who knows? Like, if you look at your handbook or if you know the other verse, like, what is the difference here? Or what's similar? Like, I can see the favor of God is in the next verse, is in the theme verse. Wisdom there, right? What else we got? Has anybody got it? What's the theme verse? Can you tell me? Real loud. Yep, unmute. It's on your book right there. I got a mute button here, right? Yeah, can you read it? You're not muted, no.
Stature?
All right, any differences? Anybody notice anything?
This is specifying he was filled with wisdom.
Okay.
And that the favor of God specifically was on him. It's missing with men. Right?
Yes, missing and with men. All right, so we're going to use this one today. Tomorrow we'll use the theme verse more so. So we're going to actually look at the scene where the shepherds come and they see the child newly born. And we'll look at this scene. Now, these two, I kind of separated them because I don't want you to think that they're married. So they got their own social distancing bubbles. So there's a guy named Simeon and there's a lady named Anna. How many have read the story of Simeon and Anna? You've read it? All right. And if it's normal that you just hear the birth stories at like Christmas time, like we were talking about yesterday, this is not normally part of that story. We usually leave this out. But I think it's a major emphasis of God to do with the experience of him as a brand new baby. And I think it has to do with our experience of the life of Christ. Okay, and then there's the wise men. It doesn't actually say how many of these wise guys there were. It does mention three different gifts that they brought. So usually when we represent them, we just have like three guys. But it could have been like a crew of men. It could have been a crew of them. But either way, they had three types of gifts. So we usually have it this way. Okay, and so as shepherds, we're going to read some of this and go along, but we're looking for a lesson in growth. We're looking for something that has to do with, now that I've got Christ's life in me, how is this going to grow? So let's read this in that light. We're looking from an angle, though, of the life of Christ is there, and I'm experiencing, seeing the life of Christ. So check this out. This is going to be a little bit different. Tomorrow we're going to look at Jesus himself growing more so. But in this case, what we're looking at is Jesus is born and people see him and they have a reaction to it. The reason we're looking at it this way is because when you're first saved, the life of Christ comes into you and there's a reaction in your life to that life. There's some things that happen as a reaction. You may not have the sense as much as of that life living and flowing through you in some more mature way. But you do have definite reactions to this new life that just came into you. So as the life is first expressed, now life really starts there in the womb, right? Like we as believers would realize, learning from the scriptures, like the Lord knows us in the womb. Like he said to Jeremiah, like, I actually, before I even formed you in the womb, I already kind of had a calling for you. And we're just like, we're just known by God. There's life going on. So as a new believer, you get this life, but then the life begins to be expressed. When the baby comes out of the belly, you can actually see the baby and you can hear the baby. There's cries and mess and everything. So that's what's happening in this case. So she, I'm skipping a little bit of verses, but and we'll try to rush through some of this because we know some of the story. So Mary brought forth her firstborn, which is Jesus. She wrapped him in the swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. Now, I have skipped the story that I think most of you would know, where they have trouble finding a place and they need to, because of the census, go to the hometown of David, Bethlehem, and that's where they're at, even though they're from Nazareth. All right, so they're there in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Okay, here's what we're looking at, though. So she's already had the baby Jesus. We're not focusing a big bunch on that. We're focusing on the sight of the baby. So there were these shepherds in the country, abiding without and keeping watch by night over the flock. Let me say something real quick, because we are reading some verses, and I know yesterday we read so many verses, and I was praying about it, because a lot of times when I share, especially with a wild crowd, now actually every week at my place, we have a wild crowd on Tuesdays, and we have these kids, a lot of them are from really poor neighborhoods, and they come in, and their attention span is about 30 seconds at a time. So it's like, if you ever read old stories of D.L. Moody, where he would like share a little bit and then he would sing a song, and then they could only do like a 5-minute spurt of gospel preaching. It's exactly like that. Like we do some fast sharing. So if I read half a verse and I can express it, like that's really good. But I thought you guys could handle a little more. The majority in this room are Christians and probably have learned like behavior of sitting still. So it's just a little bit different. And so I remembered this scripture where Paul told Timothy, like, to give himself to the public reading of scripture. And that encouraged me, where he's just like, remember, this is like a good thing to just read out loud the scriptures. And as believers, when we read scriptures, sometimes you can just sit back and be like, yes, this is the word of God. And it's okay to read scripture, even like a whole chapter together as Christians. Even though it may seem like, oh, that just took up like 10 minutes of our time. Like, we love the word of God. And the Christ in us, like, is like, amen, the whole way through. Like, when it's the word of God. So anyway, I do want to read some of these things and comment on them. So, lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what's going to happen? When an angel shows up, what always happens?
Fear.
So, fear. They feared with great fear. So, these shepherds had great fear. Of course, and what's the angel going to say to them? Fear not. This is like a pattern going on. And behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all the peoples. The announcement of the birth of Jesus is actually a gospel preaching. Because remember what we said, even with his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The fact of him being born, the God with us, Emmanuel, means that he will save us also. So it includes the cross experience. His choice to come to this world was a choice also to die in this world. The reason he had to come as a human is so that way he could actually die as a human. Okay, so he's announcing this glad tidings with great joy. Today a Savior has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. That long-awaited for Messiah has come. So this is good news preached to them. And it seems like they believe the gospel. And then they're going to run and see the face of Jesus. So this is the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, suddenly, there's more than just the one angel. They've already been calmed with their fear, hopefully. But there's with the angel, there was a multitude of heavenly armies, like the host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good pleasure in men. So this scene of believing the good news and hearing the good news, it was like glory upon glory. And they saw so much of an expression. There's really no doubt with these guys. They believed. It wasn't just like one angel who maybe he was a human or something else. It was just like then suddenly this whole host appeared. And so these guys, the angels left and they went into beyond the sky, and the shepherds said to one another, Let's make our way as far as Bethlehem. Remember, they were out with the sheep. And let us see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, I want to borrow this to talk about our experience. If you've believed on the Lord has made known to you the glorious good news. And you've actually believed that the Savior has been born. And you've been born again. So let's use it that way, where you've actually been born again. But there's something of a chase to see the face of Jesus. There's something of a slight journey to where you see the glory of the face of Christ. Let's just call it like, I go as a brand new believer to the presence of Christ. I start to actually realize that He's my Savior and He is everything. And it's almost like just the moment. It's the same night. It's the same moment. So, for example, when some people are saved, they come back to the Lord thanking Him and worshiping Him and just having some time with the Lord before they do anything else. Okay, so they're going to go and see what the Lord has made known to them. They came with haste. They ran to see the face of Jesus. They found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. So if right when you're saved, you purpose to go in prayer to the Lord, that presence of the Lord Jesus will be there. It's a night journey. It's the same day. It's not a difficult thing. It's just a purposeful thing. It's just like, I'm going back to Him. So you just have a moment just to see Him. Okay, having seen it, now they have a reaction. So we want to use this as like our first stance of some growth of the life of Christ, as you've seen Christ. They made known about the country the thing which has been said to them concerning the child, this child. All who heard it wondered at the things said to them by the shepherds. Now Mary kept these things in her mind, pondering them in her heart. So here's our reaction. They have seen and heard something, and they go and they share with everyone. I think the next verse actually has this. The shepherds returned. Now this is like beyond just that immediate night. And they glorify and praise God for all things which they have heard and seen. This phrase, seen and heard, or heard and seen, is like all throughout in the New Testament. You testify what you've seen and heard. You witness of what you've seen and heard. Like, this is your experience. What I've seen and heard, this is like me personally. I saw Jesus. Now, maybe I spiritually saw Him, but I met Him. I believed on Him, and my sins were forgiven. If you see something, it's like He reveals something to you. And if you hear something, it's like you obey it, or it's like it comes into your life. Like, I've actually received this noise of Him, of His words. So what they've seen and heard, as it had been said to them. So this is their expression. Now, I want to actually use this of how the child grew and became strong. I think this is maybe most of our weak points sometimes as a new believer. It's not everyone, because when I've seen this happen with a believer, right when they get saved, I don't know how many of us in this room had this experience. Sometimes we do. But if not, it's a great time to just start. Because some of you may be very mature, but in this one area, you did not become strong, and it actually becomes a weak area in our lives. And here's the thing. I think we grow strong in the very beginning by sharing what we've seen and heard. By testifying of what we've seen and heard. It's like you have a glance of the face of Jesus, and immediately you can testify what you have seen and heard. Now, here's what you know. You don't know much. If you're a brand new believer, you just know that the Savior is born. You know that you are born again. You know that you've had, let's say you know that you've had your sins forgiven. You know that you've received eternal life. You know what you did. You know you prayed a certain way, or you called out to His name, or you confessed Jesus is your Lord, or you came and brought your sins to Him and asked Him to forgive you and cleanse you. You know your story. That's what you've seen and heard. Now, can you share your story with others? Like, going away, there's some rejoicing to this, and they're sharing their story. Now, yesterday when we were talking about Mary sharing, you know, she had two types of people she was sharing with. One was believers, like somebody with a similar experience like Elizabeth, and another was somebody who was not yet a believer. That was Joseph before he had his angel experience. Still, he was kind enough, but he was kind of putting her away. Now, that's true. We will have these different reactions. But Mary had a good experience of expressing what had been done to her. What great things the Lord has done. And so this is often our weak spot. Now, how does it make us weak? With the life of Christ growing in us. One area where it makes us weak is our friends at school, or even our family, still interacts with us as if we're not a Christian. They still will treat us just like we are good people, but that we are not people with the life of Christ. If you've got fellowship in your own home where you share Christ and they know you're a believer, like, you are blessed, and that will strengthen you. If you have a relationship at school where people know that you're a Christian, and you actually have, maybe you found Christians there and you guys can fellowship some, and the unbelievers there know that you're a Christian, like, you become stronger because of that. The fellowship will make you stronger, true. But the distance, the social distancing spiritually that happens when they know that you're a crazy shepherd who saw Jesus. You know, those shepherds, they were like marked. It became like a thing, like something happened to those shepherds that night. You know, the glory of the angels, the experience of the baby, all of that, people know. Now, in my experience, I didn't get saved. I wasn't in a Christian home, so it was a little bit different. But I was 16 when I got saved. I was almost 17. And I was just, you know, early on, I was pretty worldly. But I wanted to be a Christian for a while. But it took a moment for me to realize the gospel. It took some searching out. And then one night with the gospel tracts, I was reading, I met the Lord and I confessed my sins and I asked the Lord for forgiveness. And that night, I knew that if I believed on Jesus, I would receive eternal life. I knew that moment, and my heart was pounding, but I also knew something else. I knew, like, the thing that was holding me back from being saved was my friends. I did not want to lose my friends, because I was a real bona fide nerd. And it took me a long time to be unnerded. And when I was in middle school, I was the shortest kid in my class, every class. The girls in fourth grade would come up to me and they thought I was handsome and cute. The sixth graders were like, "You're cute." You know, it was like when I was in sixth grade. I was just always so short. And you know what? In a bad way, oh, you know, one good thing is when I went to youth meetings, somebody drove me to church meetings and gave me a youth Bible, and I was at youth meetings without my parents, not going to church or anything. And at the youth group's times, I was accepted. You know, no one was saying I was short, or no one was laughing at me because I laughed like a nerd. You know, if you've ever heard someone laugh with a snort eventually, oh, that's just the worst. So anyway, I spent time before the mirror just like working on this thing, like, you know, like, I mean, you know, this guy up here with the guitar, he's been practicing his voice, you know, he's like, yeah, you know. I mean, these guys are just cool, you know what I mean? So, some guys are just naturally cool, but for me, it was like, it took a lot of work. I memorized a lot of, like, jokes, so, and I learned how to not laugh at my jokes, because as a kid, I'd tell a joke, and be like, ha ha, you know, and then nobody laughed at my joke, they just laughed at me, laughing at my joke. Anyway, and then I might snort. Anyway, so you got to understand, I spent years getting to the point where, like, and then freshman year, I had some friends who could drive, I think because they failed a couple of years. So anyway, I had some friends, and these guys could drive as freshmen in high school. So we were, like, automatically on a cooler level because we could give people rides. And then sophomore year, I was finally the height of everybody else. But, I mean, not as tall as a lot of people in here, but I was taller. I wasn't the shortest. Okay. So, and then I got into wrestling because my brother was so much taller than me and he always beat me up. I was like, I got to stop this. I got to be able to fight back my brother. So I took up wrestling and then I got into the cool club. You got to know I worked so hard for this. It was like, and I'm so dumb at this point that I'm not thinking about, like, what's life about? Like, what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose and everything? All I know is, like, I want to be cool. I don't want to be uncool. I just, this is what I want. And it's so shallow. And so I did everything to be cool. And I did all of this stuff and I worked on it. And next thing you know, I'm with the cool crowd finally. And I got to this point. But then I also secretly wanted to be a Christian. So I found cool ways to try to be a Christian. One was, I no longer wanted to do the things that, the bad things that we did at parties. So I was like, there's a cool way to do it, which is to be a wrestler. Because you have to make a weight class, you know? So I couldn't, like, drink alcohol or do other things. Like, I had to be in shape. So I would drink, like, root beer instead. And it was cool because I was a wrestler. So I was at parties always with root beer. But because I had to make weight, or sometimes I just had water. And I found all these ways, all these excuses, and I never let anybody know that I was trying to become a Christian. I was muted before I was even saved. Like, I was just so hiding this because I was afraid that they wouldn't think I was cool if I became a Christian. But the Lord was drawing me. I kept going to those youth meetings, and I was, like, secretly wanting to be a Christian for years. But then I would go to the parties and do all my cool stuff. But I would read the Bible, but then I would also, like, do all this terrible stuff and listen to, like, my terrible music with lots of curse words. And so I had two lives going on. But the Lord showed up and met me. And you know what he said to me was, count the cost. And I knew my cost was, like, all my coolness is gone, like, immediately. And I counted the cost. And I said, you know what? What do I want to do for my life? This is actually what I want to do. I want to be a Christian. This is really, in my heart of hearts, this is what I want to do. So I handed over my popularity. I wasn't really that popular, but it was something to me. I handed it over, and the Lord accepted me. I confessed whatever sins I knew about. He washed me clean, and I, like, fell asleep, like, when it happened. Like, I was in my bed praying, and I was like, I was out. I was, like, overwhelmed with, like the blood of Jesus. It was like, whoa, and then, I was out. And I went to school the next day, and I was like, floating on air, and I remember walking into school, and I was just like, I am a Christian. I'm, like, really a Christian now. Because I knew that something was inside of me. The Holy Spirit was there. I didn't have all of the understanding, but I was, like, walking, and my school had a ceiling, like, this big at the entrance. I was, like, walking in, like, I had $1 million in my pocket. I was like, I'm a Christian, and nobody knows it yet. Nobody knows. And anyway, as I started to grow, the first thing that was my trouble, that stopped my strength from being too strong, is I did not share immediately with all of my friends. I finished my junior year. It was just like another month or something. I finished it out, and nobody really knew, but I had changed. I stopped, like, making fun of people. The first day I made fun of somebody that walked past me really bad. They didn't hear me, but all these, like, these pretty girls laughed, and all my friends laughed. I was really good at this. And my heart... I'm, like, really good at making fun of you guys. No, I mean, not anymore. It's like the old creature. Like, I'm new in Christ now. I'm really bad at it now. But my heart, like, dropped to the ground. And I was like, what just happened? Like, where did Christ go? Because I'm sitting, and they're all laughing. I'm like, oh, that felt bad in my tummy. Because my conscience was alive again. Alive for the first time. The Holy Spirit's like, we don't talk that way. Like, we don't do that. You know, gradually stuff changed. Gradually the Holy Spirit is like, you know, as I'm singing, like, my gangster rap, like, you guys can probably tell I'm, like, a gangster, right? So, I used to have an afro, and I used to dress, like, differently. So, anyway, I'm like, and I had these big speakers in my car. Have you guys ever seen that, where people are, like, vibrating their cars? All right, like, that's actually me. Like, I'm total gangster. So, I'm driving. I'm on my way to the Bible study, right, with my Bible next to me. I'm going, and I'm like... like, and I've got all the words memorized because I loved my music. And I was singing this stuff, and out of my mouth came filth. And the Holy Spirit was like, oh, it just doesn't seem right, you know. And I was like, no, Lord. And, you know, and then I just started breaking all my CDs. This is the old days when we had CDs, right? This is like late 90s, okay? So I broke my CDs in front of a dumpster. It was like 150 CDs. It was like a lot of money. And I broke all these things, and even some of them, like, I held with some tears, like, breaking them. You know, explicit lyrics and all. It's like, oh, it's gone. But when I did that type of stuff, the life of Christ just, like, burst inside of me. I was like, yes. And I spent the summer at a youth summer camp, and I let people there know that I was a follower of Jesus. Because around Christians, like, I felt free to be who I was. And I found my voice. And I actually got to witness to somebody who wasn't yet saved. And she's like, she heard my story. This girl, her name was Jamaica. And she had a rough story. She was like a total sinner like me. And she's like, if you can be saved, I can be saved. And so then she came to Christ. She came to Christ just because I was so bad. And then it was awesome. I was like, this is the way. And so, that next school year, my senior year, I came in with, like, a Bible in my hand. Oh, I gotta tell you one more thing. I saw a kid, like, junior year, And this is when I was still muted, okay? Mute. You guys with me? Hey, front row, William. You with me? All right, so I was muted, and I was shy, and I was like secret Christian, but I was praying. And you remember my cool issue? So I was praying like, Lord, give me cool friends that are Christians. And give me an awesome mentor like Paul. Okay, so I didn't get like either of those. I got books. I read like Paul's letters, and I found some good Christian books eventually. And then I got like really nerdy Christian friends. And because the Lord taught me, like, it's no longer like that. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's like family. And He renewed my mind gradually. But the way He renewed my mind was I saw a kid, and he was like the shortest ninth grader, I think. And his shirt was like, this was when it was not cool to wear a long shirt. Like, it made him look small. It was like down to his knees, and he's walking, and he just looked all small and all like not cool. But his shirt said, Jesus is Lord, really big on it. And I, like, my heart just leapt. And I was like, you know, like that womb baby thing. And I was like, right? And so I was like, whoa! And I went up to this poor kid. I was like, dude, you're awesome. And so anyway, that was like the first kid I wanted to make friends with. Now, I was a junior, and he was like a brand new freshman. But he was way better than me. He was like expressing Christ. Even like on his shirt, Jesus is Lord. Whatever people did, and you know, people would like put gum on his backpack as he's walking. I was like, you are awesome. So that encouraged me. The next year, I just came in like that kid. And I just let everybody know as a Christian. And you know what changed? I stopped getting invited to the parties that were tempting with sins. Now, eventually they invited me because they're like, Jeffrey, can you come and share with us about Jesus after we've had a few beers? So it was kind of weird, but it was kind of like, all right, here comes Jeffrey with his milk. And then he's like, and his Bible. So by the middle of senior year, I actually got to all the parties, and it was like, here's the party preacher. And it was okay. And they just made a thing out of it. It was okay. But I noticed though, by gospel preaching, by letting everybody know that I was a Christian, and by sharing with them, I lost so many temptations, and I became strong in the Lord. I wanted to search the scriptures to get strong in the Word because I needed it to witness. It like affected my Christian walk so much. Because what weakens you is worldliness. What weakens you are those temptations. The sins that happen, but also the things that just pull you back. But as like I let everybody know I'm a Christian, now it's like, all right, I got to actually walk this way. And I need to bear my testimony. So it actually strengthens you. I'm sharing extra long on this because I feel like this is an area that we miss out on. And it's not that you need some big experience. You just need to like, all right, his name is John. Here I go. I wear my conference shirt or whatever it is. It might just be like you start to bring your Bible with you, or you just let a few friends know, like, I am a believer. I am a C. I'm a CH. I'm a chicken, hickory, nice, chicken, dairy, nicken. You just like let them know. You just share with them a little bit. Okay. So that's something to do with the life of Christ. Now let's get into these guys. And did I just use up all of our time? How much time we got? 10 minutes left? Oh, we have plenty of time. All right, here we go. So this outline is an old man, Simeon. So this is after 8 days of Jesus being born. Remember how John, when John was born, it was 8 days later, and then they did his name is John. Do you guys remember that? So this, you know, with the Jewish kids, there's like a circumcision that happens after 8 days. And there's a presenting of the firstborn at the temple. So this is what happens. I'm going to skip a few verses. So the days were fulfilled for circumcising him. His name was called Jesus. Now, we name our babies like at the hospital day one, or before then, we have them on the thing. But with the Jews, it's like day 8 is the official time you name them. This was the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days were fulfilled for their purifying according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. All right. So it's been some time, not just the 8 days, but it's been a little bit of time. And he's coming to the temple and they're presenting the child there. And so we want to use this concept. We're going to borrow this, of course. But remember, this is a newly born baby, not the same day like the shepherds saw. But this is just pretty quickly in the experience. There was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. Check out his character. He's just, he's pious. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is a man of God. It's an old man of God, but he's a man of God. And he's there in Jerusalem. The Lord had shown him, had divinely communicated to him by the Holy Spirit, he would not die. until he saw the Lord's Messiah. That's an amazing thing. Now, this is just a special time period. You know, it had been prophesied a Messiah was coming, and so many were waiting. This guy had a special note from the Lord. This is really unique. So I'm not trying to say, like, we're all going to get these odd notes of, like, it's going to... You know, like Agabus the prophet in the New Testament, he's like, there's going to be a famine in the land. That's a unique thing going on right there, and same here. But he knew that he would see the Lord's Christ. Okay. So he came in the spirit into the temple, and remember the child's being presented in the temple also. As the parents brought the child Jesus, that they might do to him according to the custom of the law, he grabbed this baby. He received him into his arms. This is a little out of the ordinary. So he snatched up this baby. I'm assuming Joseph and Mary like allowed it. Like he looked like maybe he had that glow, you know, that shiny glow of the presence of God. And so he grabbed the baby and he blessed God. This is an experience in the temple. When the man of God is there, an old believer is there, waiting for something of the Lord, and they see Christ. They snatch up that Christ right away and they just bless God. They're so excited when Christ is brought into the temple. And so he goes ahead and says, he's like, Lord, now you can let your bondman go. He's like, now I can die. According to your word, I can go in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus, the salvation, like he will save his people from their sins. You've prepared this salvation before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. This is his expression of joy, and he's just so glad to see Christ. He's so glad to see Jesus. He's so glad that Mary and Joseph brought their Jesus to the temple, and he could actually see it. Now, of course, we're borrowing all of these stories to talk about our interactions when we see Christ and how we react to that as believers. Now, in this case, I want to look at two parts of this. One is Mary and Joseph brought Christ to the temple. This is probably the emphasis. What happens at the temple, though, is a full-on, matured expression of joy. An expression of joy beyond what Mary and Joseph understood. Now, they may have known, like, we just had a miraculous baby. They know that this is Christ. This is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. But this is a shock to them. So, the father and mother, they wonder at the things which were said concerning him. They're just like, whoa. The expression of the type of, I'm going to call it fellowship, that happened with Simeon. They just like almost shocked them, or they're just like amazed by it. Now they brought their Jesus to the temple, and then they receive all of this that's said from Simeon. And he goes further, not just the expression of joy, like, there's Christ. I see Christ. Like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been praying for. You know, this is what happens when we bring our Christ to the church. Sometimes you have no idea how many grumpy old people have been praying for you. And they may have stern faces because they just look aged. But they actually, when you actually share Christ, they smile again. You know why they're not smiling? It's because they're waiting for Christ. They've been waiting forever. And it's like, day after day, there's no Christ. How many years has it been? And they're praying, and their prayers have not been answered. But then you present your Christ, and there's like, yes! And they turn into like joyful people again. They snatch up Christ from you. And there's like, you've got Christ! And they start to praise the Lord. That is an amazement. Now, I remember like when I was in, now this is just like not as a brand new believer, but it's like happened so many times. I'm just pulling out a story. But like when I was in Richmond, I was sharing for the first time in Richmond, just sharing my Christ. I remember like five old ladies. now I'm saying old. I don't know if they were really old then. They were probably just in their 60s or 70s. Now I think of old like 90, 100, right? Because I'm like around some really old people. But they were kind of quasi-older. But I remember them walking around in the church, like I could hear them whispering, like, Jeffrey's sharing today. And then I remember the first time I shared like an opening for the breaking of bread. I was in Memphis, Tennessee. And all of the saints were just, because I was 21. Now that's really old, I think, to be sharing. But it was like, I was like 20 or 21. And they were just like, our young person's sharing. Because in Memphis at that time, we were all muted. All of us young people were like, sharing is for the old people. We will talk on the side at the playground. You know, like, we were all muted. Unless we were with only teenagers, then we would talk. But I was like, are we supposed to be like this? So I shared, and then all these people that I thought were stern-faced, they were all like smiling at me. And I had this experience with them, like, you guys are believers just like me, and you're not as grumpy as I thought. You know, a lot of the grumpiness of our old people is because we haven't presented our Christ in the church, in the temple. a lot of their, like they've gone, it's like battle-worn soldiers. Like, they're just rusty and crusty because they've been through battles after battles and they've lost soldiers next to them. You know, they've gone through a hard time. Like Simeon. And they need you to just bring your sharing. If you've got an open time, any kind of church meeting, it could be like breaking bread where you're allowed to pray, or a prayer meeting where you're allowed to pray, or a Bible study where you're allowed to share, whatever it is. It doesn't always have to be like you're going up to a mic, but if you're allowed to open your mouth, you can share your Christ. And you present your Christ. It could be as simple as like, Lord, thank you for saving me. But you present your Christ and it's genuine. And then like these like battle-worn soldiers are like, baby Jesus! There's a Jesus! And they're just like so excited. This is something of the growth of Christ, not just for us, but for everybody. The whole church grows from this. Because you know what stops a lot of growth with mature believers? It's not lack of knowledge. It's not lack of knowing the way, or even being very mature, or dealing with like sins in the world as much. It's their feet are so dirty from walking in this world and being hurt in the church. And their feet need to be washed. And the shortest people in the church are the ones that need to wash the feet. The newest believers, I don't mean short, you know what I mean? We're at the lower level where we can wash the feet a little easier. If you only have like a one sentence prayer, that's the best type of prayer for washing feet. It's not the type of prayer that will bring someone into a new revelation of Christ that they've never seen. Totally okay. But you know what it will do? It'll refresh their feet to where they will like have the their eyes like washed also, and they're like, oh yeah, Christ, I remember him, I love him too. It's kind of like that, like, yes, Christ, I remember the joy of the Lord. And so it's the washing of the feet ministry. When you present your Christ, the whole church grows from this. But we do also too. So there's a specific word for Mary. So Simeon blessed them and he said to Mary his mother, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Basically, like, this is the way it goes with Christ. There's going to be a lot happening. Some are going to like rise and some are going to fall. He's going to be the sign that's spoken against. And even a sword shall go through your own soul, so that the thoughts may be revealed from many hearts. This is the way the life of Christ works in general. When Christ shows up, everything's exposed. And it's like a sword that divides in your soul. You know, even like in Hebrews 4, like the sword as the word of God divides your soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So here he says, the thoughts may be revealed from many hearts. A sword will go through your own soul. It's exactly like Hebrews 4:12. It's that experience. When Christ shows up, this is going to be happening. So sometimes in the church, you hear from an older believer like a Simeon, like, you've got Jesus. Now let me tell you how this works a little bit. And in our time in church gatherings, we begin to learn like parts of the maturing path. It's beyond us. We're not there yet. We've just got baby Jesus. He's not actually moving that much yet. He's just like pooping, crying, and you know, not that, I don't know, we shouldn't think about that. But there's just a little bit of stirring and movement with the Christ in us. As we're maturing though, but they show us like this is the way it works. And you yourself, you're going to have some dealings, and this is how it's going to work. A lot of the fellowship older believers share, and even sermons, like, I feel for you guys, you're in the Kenny Pittman messages. But it's not like, I mean, if there's ever anything in the Kenny Pittman message that you feel like, this is for the older ones, it's just like a Simeon sharing, like, there's a sword coming through your heart also. It's coming. And so if you're just like, I'm not sure I'm there yet where someone's talking, like, that's totally okay. That's just the Simeon experience. A sword will go through your heart eventually. You know, with Mary, a sword did go through her heart. She had to realize, like, I am the mother of this child, but I'm also, like, a worshiper of God, and he's the Messiah, so I'm actually a believer in Jesus. Like, that was a big change, you know, from her on the outside of his meetings, and like, hey, your mother's out here, I need to talk to you. To where he's like, who is my mom and siblings? Who are they? You know, it's those that are doing the will of God. And his mom was kind of drawn in this way until the point where she's at the foot of the cross where Jesus is. And he's like, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. And it's just like the relationship is she's a believer. There's just a difference that changed with her. So this like literally happened with her where there was a division that changed and started to sort of transform her as a believer. But with us, when we get these words from older believers, what this does, this brings wisdom to us. It shows us the path of life. Now let me really quick, we'll get into that in a second, but really quick with Anna, there's not that much said about her. She's just another old believer. There was a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Now try to figure out how old she is. She's far advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and herself was a widow up to 84 years. So if you do 84 plus, she was married for 7 years, how many years is that?
91.
Now, what age do you think she got married when she stopped being a virgin? Like, pick a young age. What's a young age for you guys to get married?
Well, 20.
All right, if you say 20, how old would she be?
111.
111?
18.
All right, but this is the old days, so maybe she got married at 18. What would that be?
109?
That's not too old. Now, what if she got married at 16?
107.
That's how old brother Stephen Kong is right now. Advanced. Anyway, if she got married at 14, still pretty old. In the hundreds, right? Very advanced. Okay. Now, here's what she did as an old person. I really should have put a cane with this picture. She's probably falling over. She did not depart from the temple. She served night and day at the temple in whatever her measure was. Can you imagine this? A really old person without a lot of modern medicine to like fix them up. So she's there like, I probably should have made her more hunched over also. With fastings and prayers. You know, one thing she can do is pray. So here's a believer, an older believer, in the temple, in the church. You think like they can barely do something. But they are doing some of the most important ministry. And you know, she is waiting for something. So she's there. She comes up that same hour when Simeon's like, baby Jesus! And he's prophesying. He's like, the Messiah's here. She comes up and she gives praise to the Lord. Because she's been waiting for the same exact experience. The same thing. And she spoke of him to all those who waited for redemption in Jerusalem. Now notice, if she's got a crew of people to share with. There's more than just Simeon and Anna who are waiting for the Messiah. She's got all these other people to tell who were waiting for the redemption in Jerusalem. So she's spreading the good news. Now with us in the church, sometimes that's that sharing of the good news of a new believer that's actually walking with the Lord. If you've not come to prayer meetings, you should go to a prayer meeting and you will hear the awesomest gossip about teenagers there. When teenagers walk with the Lord. Because that's when they're like, let's pray for the youth. Did you know these guys are getting baptized? Or, let's pray for this. This person shared. Did you guys hear that? Let's pray for them. Because it's like this. It's like with Anna. Like, she's sharing with everyone who's awaiting. There's just joy in the house of the Lord when our Christ is brought to the temple. So I wanted to bring this up to say, as Christ grows in us, the child grew filled with wisdom. One aspect of our growth as believers, starting out, is we need to grow in wisdom. Now, how are we going to do this? One of the strongest ways to grow in wisdom is to show up, to bring your Christ to the temple. Bring your Christ to the church. And whatever your smallest portion is. This is, you know, as scary as it is to preach the gospel or to let your friends know that you're a Christian. This is another level of scary in a different way, but it's another level of joy. The first person I got to share the gospel with, I was filled with joy after that. When I first started sharing Christ in the church, I was also filled with joy. But also then I received from the church. I was able to grow in wisdom. I heard Simeon sharing. I saw Anna's expression and her sharing with others. And I realized that I have a ministry in the church and it doesn't need to wait till I'm old. I have a ministry right now. If you're 11, 12, 13, 18, whatever you are, like the ministry time is now because we need to bring, this is the way that we're going to grow in wisdom. So we receive from the other believers. Okay, last thing here. Everybody's leaving. Did I do something wrong?
No, we got babies.
Oh, good. Baby time. All right. Baby time. I got 5 more minutes. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Last thing. This story you guys know, so I'm going to rush through the story part just to make a point. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, this is what I said in Matthew. Like, it says the birth of Jesus, but then it goes straight to this story. There's these magi that arrive from the east, and they ask, in Jerusalem, not in Bethlehem, they say, where's the king of the Jews that's been born? These magi magically know from a star and probably from their own prophecy. Some think it's from the prophecy of Balaam or something else. But either way, they were divinely shown that there was the king of the Jews being born. This star. And so they came for that. They've seen the star. They've come to do worship. Herod got very upset about this. And he was troubled. Actually, others in Jerusalem were troubled. They did not want some king to like change their ways because they were all in charge. So these are corrupt people. They assembled all the chief priests. Remember how I said the priests, the chief of the priests were corrupt? Like, here's some corrupt ones. Whereas the priest Zacharias was actually an overcomer, doing the real chief priest's job. Anyway, the scribes, these are the Bible scholars, he inquired of them where Christ should be born, and they said, Bethlehem. Herod called the Magi over secretly. He asked them about the time of the star. Now, this is important, because at the end, he kills a lot of babies. Based on the timing of the star. And so the age of the babies that he kills are 2 years old and under. So this is why we think the Magi experience probably happened after Jesus was almost 2 years old. So he's probably more like a toddler when the Magi show up. So that's probably the timing with this, because the star appeared like when he's born, and then they had this long journey travel, and then they come through all this. So that's why sometimes in the Christmas plays, you know, they got to consolidate it for time, but they don't like bring in a new baby sometimes and like put in a toddler, because you know what would happen at a Christmas play with a toddler? Like, it would be wild. Okay, but anyway, so he went ahead and said, like, go ahead to Bethlehem, search for the child. Once you found him, let me know, so I can do worship also. You know, he just wants to kill the baby. So they went. They saw the star again. Oh, and it came over the house where the little child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. They came to the house. They saw the little child with Mary's mother, and they fell down and did worship. They opened their treasures. Now here's what I wanted to get at. They opened up their treasures. They offered him gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were instructed not to go back, you know, and to go another way. Now, like I mentioned, the babies were being killed. So, you know, Herod saw, he was enraged, and he found all the boys that were 2 years old and under, and he killed them all. If you read the story or know the story, Joseph and Mary escaped, and they went to Egypt, and they eventually went to where Jesus grew up, in Nazareth, which was where Joseph was originally. So here's the growth aspect here. Let me skip over to this. The child grew in favor. The favor of God was upon him. This growth in the favor of God, there's another experience that happens directly with you and Christ. Now here, there's been a little bit of growth in this story, but I especially want to say that this is the Magi's first time seeing Jesus, the child. And they offer their treasures to Jesus, the King. These are treasures that they've stored up. They've been on a journey, and they are bringing these things and offering them to Jesus. I'll probably have to say, sorry, I got so excited earlier that I lost my voice. I'll probably have to share a little more on this tomorrow. I just want to make the point of it, and maybe we will focus on it for a second tomorrow. But the offering of your treasures, like, catapults you into spiritual growth. And your treasures are things that are treasures to you, but eventually they are actually the treasures that God has given you of God. You know, like gold always kind of represents something of God in the scriptures. And there's like an experience that you've had, but you offer all of these things to him as you see him. Now it may be, like, let's say we've gone walking with the Lord some. And maybe you at first had your burst of expression and you offered your life to the Lord. A lot of you all have been baptized, which is a great expression of that. There's a further consecration, which is after you know a little bit. Once you know a little bit, you know a little bit more of what you're getting into also. And you know a little bit more of the life of Christ. And you offer your Christ to the Lord to do as he pleases. But when you offer it, remember what they saw. They saw that he was the King. So this has a lot to do with Jesus being your King. So it's something of us even to question and consider. I think we'll meditate more on this tomorrow. We'll consider it more. But basically, there's treasures. Some of them are corrupt. Like, your gold has a little bit of filth on it, and it has to go through a little bit of fire. How does it get purified? You offer it to King Jesus. You offer it to him, and he will purify it by fire. You offer that love that's in your heart that becomes like an aroma in the whole room, And as you offer yourself to the Lord in these types of ways, like, you actually grow in favor with God. Now, how can I ever grow in more favor with God if I've been accepted in the Beloved? If Christ is my representation before the Father, there's nowhere closer and no more favor than that. But I grow in the experience of that favor because I'm bringing my treasures of Christ back to the Lord. As you respond to the love of God and you love Him back and you offer the things that are treasures to you, you actually experience more of His love. It flows through you back to Him and then flows right back to you. This is that first love cycle that has to happen. Like when the Lord says, I love those that love me. Like, He loves all of us, but He also gets to love us more or share more of His love to us when we love Him back, when we offer these things. So it could be as simple as like offering up your first moments of the day. Or in my case, the Lord really spoke strongly to me of this treasure of mine, which is my first moments of every free time. Free time has become so precious to me. I sit down and I've got like a whole hour and no one's telling me what to do. And I just offer like 10 seconds, 30 seconds of my free hour and I just offer it to the Lord. And I just behold the Lord, bring my treasure to Him. Do you know that changes my free time experience like 100%? Now, instead of the temptations that come with free time, especially when you're tired and wandering in your mind, now it's like you've got the presence of the Lord. Whatever you do, whether it's like playing a game or doing some work or doing nothing or resting or whatever it is, it might be that you're reading the Word or something else, but whatever you do, you've offered your time to the King, and it's you've gained favor with God. Basically, you gained the presence of God. So we want to grow in our experience of more of the presence of God. So if I could just recommend one treasure, it's your first. Seek first the kingdom, or offer Him your first place, and then you will be brought into first love in a regular way. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to You, we just thank You that You've given us the life of Christ. That this life inside of us is growing and moving and stirring around. And we just come to You, Lord, that the life of Christ would grow in us. And in all these areas that we talked about today, we pray that You would convict and speak and lead and show us Your direction now. Show us Your path of growth with each of us and how You're walking with us. Give us a blessed day today, Lord, where we can gain some wisdom from the older believers and believers around us and our peers around us. Lord, bless us this day where we can seek Your face and gain Your presence, and even where we can open our mouths in our group discussions and let it be known that we're believers. And Lord, if there's any among us that haven't met You yet, we pray that we would be free to open our mouths and ask for help and to believe on You and receive You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.